Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Now here's your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Tony Proctor, Chief Financial Officer at Lexidus. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
So, Tony, what I always like to do before getting into the main part of the conversation is to give my guests a chance to provide more of an introduction in terms of who they are and what they do. So, Tony, the floor is yours.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, again, I serve as the CFO at Lexitas Pharma Services. We are a specialty clinical research organization. We focus solely in the area of ophthalmology. I've been with the company now for about 15 months.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what got you into healthcare in the first place?
Well, so I had an opportunity to start in the healthcare industry about 11 or 12 years ago with a CRO. And I'd had a number of, you know, various career paths with different industries. And so I got started there. And, you know, spending time in the CRO industry, I found to be very impactful. And what really resonated with me was what the industry does to bring therapies to patients. And just as a sort of note for me, we were having a management conference with one of the first organizations that I was with. And they brought in one of the patients who had been part of the clinical trial. And it just really resonated with me, the impact that these trials make on the patient. So it has stuck, you know, I've really enjoyed the industry.
Yeah. So as you said, having gone through a couple of different career paths, you know, what has struck you the most about, you know, the challenges or the opportunities now being in the healthcare industry?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it wraps up a couple of different things. One, it's a regulated industry. So there's certainly things that you have to be mindful of in how you operate. There's a direct impact that we can see to patients and customers. You know, it's, while it is ultimately a service business, it is something that, you know, you can see the impact in the world today. You know, we believe that, you know, what we do at Lexitas as well as the industry has a profound effect on the life and, you know, and health of the patient.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well stated, because it's, you know, oftentimes when you talk to folks, especially as they're breaking into or, you know, talking about why they got into healthcare, you end up hearing that kind of common thread of recognizing or getting to see that direct impact to provide, you know, individual benefit and then seeing, you know, how that can ripple out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the case for many of the folks that I work with at Lexitas and have worked with in this industry. Many of them have family members or someone who might have been impacted by the, you know, the indication that they're working in. And so, you know, for them, it's really a personal thing. It kind of hits home, right? And so, you know, I think that's why you see so many people in this industry being dedicated to the work, is because they have that close kind of personal relationship.
Yeah, and kind of thinking about that relationship and, you know, what seems to end up having more of like a passion drive being in healthcare, what does it look like when you're thinking about starting a business or, you know, trying to grow a business within healthcare? You know, what do you think are areas that individuals should focus on from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, as you, you know, looking to get into or grow a business, you know, there's all the normal kind of business factors. But I think, you know, certainly for us at Lexitas, you know, we've actually been around for a number of years. It's quite a mature or established business. But the first 10 years or so of the business was, you know, they were operating at kind of slow, moderate growth. They wanted to really establish themselves as an organization that took on work that they knew they could deliver and deliver well, which is important in this industry. Over the past few years, we have started to see some, you know, quite tremendous growth. And you know, that has paid off. You know, the company was acquired back in 22 by a private equity group. And so as we look out to where we're going, you know, what are the things that are important? So for us, the things that really resonate in our industry as you work with the customers is looking at what's important to them. So for many of our customers, they're small to mid-sized biotechs. And so they deal with many things from, you know, limited funding to limited staff. They don't have sometimes the resources that maybe some of the large pharma companies do. And so for us, it is trying to be creative and give them solutions that can be successful. So, you know, as we look at our business, we try to focus on the people and the process and system. So we're ultimately a service business, right? And so we have to decide, how do we make our people as efficient as they can be? Do we give, you know, give them the right systems? You know, there's a lot of things looking to change in this industry around AI. And so, you know, it is a very, it's an industry that's, you know, hasn't changed a lot. And a lot of that comes because it is regulated. But, you know, there are things where we're looking to make changes in the industry. And how do you do that, you know, effectively over time, right? So I think as you look to grow a business, you got to look at the industry you're in. You got to look at what's important. And so for us as a kind of that small niche CRO, we're not one of the big guys. You know, we have to find ways to sort ourselves, set ourselves apart, right? And I really think that that's where that area of being creative and looking at solutions, you know, no trial is really the same. I won't call them snowflakes, but, you know, they are, you know, they're very much different in how they're designed. And so you can't just go in with that sort of cookie cutter approach. So for us, that's really where we focus on how do we make it different? How do we hear what the customer needs? And then ultimately, you know, how does that drive something that gets it to the patient?
Yeah. So kind of, I think, as you're saying, to be able to help set your business apart or to distinguish yourself, it's, you know, if I'm understanding correctly, it's really diving into and gaining a clear insight into what your customer base is looking for, and then mm-hmm. figuring out how to be able to, you know, operate or action on that insight and do it in a way that, for lack of a better way of saying, maybe has a little bit of a special sauce built into it. So it's not just a cookie cutter approach.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we try to bring, right? So, you know, in our industry, it is, you know, customers want it done on time and done, you know, in budget, right? So, you know, we deal with customers that, you know, sometimes we, you know, we could be, if we don't run the trial properly, you know, we could be the ones that, you know, maybe not sink them, but, you know, put them in a place where they've got enough money to run this trial and they're looking for success, right? And so they want to find a partner that is as invested in this process as they are. And so, you know, at Lexitas, we're looking to understand that. So when we partner with someone, you know, what are they trying to get out of this? What are they trying to ultimately drive to? And then how do we find the right sites, the right partnerships, the right staff to put on it who have the right therapeutic expertise, and really drive to that? You know, that's something in this industry that is, it is important. The science is important. And so, you know, companies are looking for that partner that has the science that they can bring and really drive that value for them so that the ultimate outcome gets them, you know, what they're looking for.
And as you're going about kind of gathering that information, that insight into what the customer's goal is or, you know, what they're trying to achieve, you know, have you found particular strategies that are more effective than others, or have you maybe tried one path that you thought was going to work out really well, and then based on practical experience, found out that you needed to adjust it the next time around?
It's probably both. you know, just like most situations where, you know, someone's looking to find a partner, right? You know, you go about that through often kind of an RFI, RFP process, right? So you've outlined what you think is necessary. So is the one who holds the kind of compound of the science, they're thinking, okay, well, for us to get this to market, this is how we think the trial needs to run. And so for us, as we come in, what's important is for us to study that. And if we have maybe a difference of opinion or difference of how we think the strategy would work, I think it's important to go back to that customer and inform them and also educate them and say, here's why we think that maybe a different path is a better way to go. Now, sometimes that can mean different costs. So, you know, oftentimes what you can do is you can say, well, here's the costing if we go down the path that you're choosing, right? If you go down our path, we think the results will end up in a better place and you'll spend ultimately less money. We believe maybe up front it looks like it could be more, but ultimately we believe that that will serve you better. So, you know, it's sometimes it's trying to be that, you know, education and kind of advise. But ultimately, you know, we're there for the customer. If they come and say, we hear you, that's, and that's great. We still believe in our process. Okay, that's fine. You know, then we're there to, you know, work with them to accommodate that process.
Yeah, kind of, I think as you're saying, it's, you know, bring your experience to bear on a particular situation, because, you know, I think as you're describing, you know, depending on the nature of your business, you might have a broader based set of experiences because you're working with multiple customers or multiple clients, whereas, you know, one particular client may be so focused on their particular issue that they need someone who can kind of see that forest through the trees.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're currently working with a client now who, you know, again, the management teams of these companies differ, right? I mean, and they do in every organization you work in. But we're working with a client who, you know, their leadership team is more on kind of the investment side. They want to get in, they want to invest in this, they want to, you know, take it to market. But the depth of maybe some of their science team isn't there. So they're looking to us, and that's where we can advise them to say, you know, obviously you're the one holding the purse strings, but if you'll listen to us, we believe that based on the protocol that you have to run this trial, we can make some adjustments. We know sites that can be better suited to do that, because we have those connections and we work with them on more than just, you know, the one study. So again, that's the relationship that you try to build. And again, at the end of the day, that creates that partnership that shows, hey, we believe that what we're bringing will help you get to the end goal where you need to be.
Yeah. And I really like that way you described it. You know, it's a partnership, and, you know, I think sometimes in business that can get overlooked, where, you know, you're just thinking maybe about the deal. Whereas, you know, if you think about the broader picture and the way that you can fit together and really be able to complement and help each other out, that can end up producing, you know, better results than you might have anticipated up front.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and again, I think as a smaller business, you know, trying to grow and grow market share, that's the way we can set ourselves apart, right? You know, we have to be someone who says, we've got something that's a little different. We don't have the kind of global footprint. We don't have some of these other things. But here's what we do bring to bear. And that's really what we try to focus on, is our therapeutic expertise, our ability to show the customer how that's going to impact them.
No, exactly. And for those of you just joining, I'm talking about Tony Proctor from Lexitas Pharma Solutions. We're talking about, you know, kind of helping your business stand out and, you know, approaches to working with customers. And Tony, you were kind of just pointing out, you know, some of the unique challenges or, you know, kind of the drive that being a smaller business might produce. you know, so maybe if you could speak to, you know, how can you kind of maybe overcome perceived resource challenges if you're a smaller business, and, you know, how you can make sure that you're, you know, most efficiently or optimally utilizing what you have available?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and something that, you know, we come up against, you know, in situations where we are bidding on work against maybe, say, a global CRO that, you know, that we're up against. And so for us, what we, you know, what we're doing with the customer is showing, you know, the expertise. Here are the staff that we bring. Here's the background. And, you know, one of our core values is to be, you know, ophthalmic focused. So top to bottom, right? We really want to bring in folks that have that expertise. And so, you know, when we come to the table, we're saying, okay, well, we might not have 10,000 people on our staff, but the staff that we do have that, you know, sort of the more the depth of the understanding. And because we work simply in this space, we believe that that value is something that will ultimately pay off for you. And so for us, you know, internally as well, that's important. Again, it's one of our values that we want to be focused on this. We want to drive this so that the customer gets the value proposition that they're looking for.
Yeah, it's a kind of, it seems like implicit in what you're just saying is, you know, recognize that, you know, maybe you can't be a complete generalist, but by narrowing your focus and, as you said, getting really in depth on a particular matter or particular area of focus, you can then bring a much better expertise and, you know, potentially, or not just potentially, but very likely be able to better serve the folks that you're working with, because you know what your focus area is in and out more than someone who is just touching on it every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we think that, you know, Lexitas can stand ahead in this, you know, very narrow sort of focus therapeutic area is, you know, there's very few competitors that have that same profile. And so for us, the ability to stand out is really where we believe that that gives us that opportunity to, you know, to work with clients. Now, again, there's going to be clients who say, you know, maybe some of your, you know, you don't quite have some of the things that we need. And so we understand that. But, you know, most of the time, we believe that what we bring to the table will give us that ability to maybe overcome the size perspective, right? So it is the more specialized versus, you know, I don't know, maybe the example of buying a Porsche instead of a Ford.
Yeah. And kind of when you're thinking about that specialization, you know, how do you think a business can go about choosing how to specialize? Is it, do you think it's primarily driven by maybe the particular areas of expertise or interest that, you know, folks have coming into it? Or is it by looking in an assessing the market to figure out where the greatest gaps might be? Or is it some combination of those two, which is usually how it is in life?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the combination. But I think looking at the market that you're going to operate in, you know, so for us specifically within the CRO industry, you know, most of the CROs, you know, sort of tout themselves as therapeutically aligned, right? That's where they want customers to believe they have that sort of expertise. And so for us, as we look across that market and that landscape, there's this, you know, therapeutic area of, you know, the ophthalmic focus. And that's for us where we said, we can focus in, we have that expertise, and we're going to specialize in that area. You know, we don't want to be involved in other trials that bring on other indications. We believe this is where we need to focus and that our staff will succeed in this area.
So kind of as you go through that process and, you know, kind of narrow down their refinement, then how do you think is an appropriate way to measure success to know whether you're doing something well or, you know, then being able to identify areas that you can improve on?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think for us to measure success, we look at it, I think, holistically, right? We have an internal management system that we look at. We have certain KPIs that tell us, are we performing to how we want to, you know, what we believe is the high marks of where we want to grow the organization. We also then look at how does that compare to others, our peers, right? So, you know, there's many areas that you can compare yourselves. Maybe it's operational performance or financial performance. So we're looking to say, are we in line, or how are we performing against our peers, right? So you have kind of that watermark that you can look at and say, you know, as the industry, where do you stand? And then I think it's really from then ultimately the customer feedback you get, right? So, you know, we have a high retention rate of our customers, which to us says they're happy with our work, they're coming back. That's an area of the feedback that we say, okay, you know, are we ultimately performing for the customer what they're looking for? You know, we do surveys, we go out and we, sort of check the pulse, make sure that the customer is getting what they expect. And then how do we use that to also change maybe some of those KPIs or metrics that we need to drive better outcome?
Yeah, and you just mentioned kind of surveys and then, you know, talking with your customers to get their feedback. You know, do you find that the customers are willing to provide the feedback, or do you kind of maybe have to nudge them a little bit?
No, I mean, I think our customers are, many of them are very, like, they probably give us more than we want sometimes. I think depending on the situation, right? But we're, you know, they're going to give us feedback on, you know, the quality of our work. You know, oftentimes, because within this industry, you're dealing with human subjects, things are going to change. That's just the nature of the business, right? And so when they change, you have to work with that customer to understand what does that mean in terms of timelines, cost, you know, those things for them. And when you do that, your interaction with your customer needs to be in a way where it's going both ways. They're saying, well, hey, maybe we want you to do something different because of a change. Or we come to them and say, because of these issues or maybe changes that we identify, we think it might be better to do this. So, you know, it should be a constant feedback loop that we're getting from them. But it even goes to, you know, when you're doing even up front, when you're trying to win the work, you know, they're giving you feedback on, you know, your cost basis, your structure of the, you know, the project. And so, you know, oftentimes that feedback to us is coming, you know, very much real time, and we have to be on top of that and using that to really drive the business.
Yeah, I mean, it really suggests that, you know, open communication and open dialogue are really vital for that healthy relationship between a business and the customer. Because it's, you know, as you're saying, if you're not open to receiving, you know, honest information, then it's going to be very easy to go down a path where you make the customer really unhappy and you're just blind to it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think ultimately that plays itself out in the customer retention. You know, does the customer come back? And unfortunately, you know, we've had some situations where we've had to have conversations with customers that are more uncomfortable because we probably weren't having some of that dialogue. So again, for us, it is creating that constant feedback of, okay, we learned from that. And now how do we improve so that that's driving those metrics of what we want to do, and how do we interact with the customer so that they're, you know, as we move along in this process, we're on the same page together.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, because it's, you know, it really does come back to that relationship. And if you don't have, you know, a healthy relationship, you can very easily have your goals diverge. And, you know, you might think you're actually moving in direction of satisfying your metrics, but that's not going to align with what the customer is looking for. And it's a great way to have the relationship break down. Whereas, you know, I think, as you were saying, if you're you know, both on the same page, or you are talking all along and see where you're starting to separate, then you can be able to use that information to come back together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, kind of, you know, through your experience, you know, what do you think is kind of the most interesting lesson that you've learned about that relationship aspect and, you know, just kind of the growth to a successful relationship with a customer?
Yeah, I think don't be afraid to ask, you know, I mean, I think you have to spend the time. I think customers, they want to know that there is a connection there, right? And so if you're asking the questions, you're going to get the feedback. If you are creating that partnership, then at the end of it, you know, I think you arrive at the best result for both parties. If you ignore it and you kind of like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to step away from some of these, it's just like, you know, bad news never really ages well, right? So if you've got something, you've got to have a conversation sooner rather than later. So I think that's really something that we've pushed within the organization is work with your customer, understand them, and then, you know, ask questions, you know, and they'll tell us. And that way we know where we stand. We're not kind of guessing, because that even puts us in the worst place to try to figure out what they're thinking.
Yeah, no, it kind of, as you said, if you ignore something or kind of bury your head in the sand, then it's easy to have that fester and, you know, become a much bigger issue than it, you know, either actually is or than it needed to be. And Tony, believe it or not, we're already out of time. So I think that's a kind of a great parting thought for our listeners. So I want to thank my guest, Tony Proctor, for a great conversation today.
Well, Matt, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
And thank you to everyone listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at hashtag HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.